Each and every one this evening, we do give everyone a very warm welcome into our service, and we trust the Lord will bless you tonight. And I want to thank everyone that's been praying for James. He's a lot better. I think he's had about 4 COVID tests in about 2 weeks. Somebody at school had COVID, he had a test, then he had another test, 8 tests later, then he had another test at home. All the tests was clear, so we knew it wasn't COVID, but it's like an asthma on his chest. He's all right during the day. At night time, he's up most of the night coughing, then he panics a bit. But he's definitely looking a lot better. He's still over at the hospital. They're monitoring him, what they're going to give him. And we're just trusting the Lord will touch him. And also, we want to think of Samuel tonight. Samuel's a bad cold as well. We want to pray for Samuel. That's why he's not here today. That the Lord will touch Samuel, praise God. And really enjoyed the message this morning, you know, and the strange thing was the scriptures that Brother Mark took. There's a sister had asked me about them scriptures during the week and different details about the spirit of Elijah, and Mark mentioned a lot of them scriptures this morning. And we just thank the Lord for the word of God, that it sets out for us the truth of God. Praise God. The Lord bless each one. Those that's tuned in this evening, we welcome you in the name of the Lord, wherever you're watching from. And you know, some weeks you think there's maybe not many tuned in, and then the next morning I go on, there's about 170 people's watched it, 300's viewed it, and it can go up and up. From a dad's funeral to date, it's over 4,000 people watched the graveside of my dad's funeral that actually have watched it. There's a lot more than that's viewed it. Look, if it reaches one person, if one person gets saved, it's all worth it. And sometimes it feels difficult and hard, but it's the Lord we're serving. And you know, I said, I think it was Wednesday night, and I'll share it this evening before I turn to the Word of God. We're going to be reading from Luke 17 and also Genesis this evening. But you know, there's a woman came to the pastor in a certain church, and she had a lot of problems with things in the church that was going on. And she told the pastor about, you know, sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. And she had a lot of complaints. Maybe some of them were genuine. But the pastor called her to the side in the next service and he gave her a glass of water. And he told her to keep walking around the church with a glass of water, and he didn't want her to spill any of it. And she walked around the church with a glass of water, and after the service he said to her, "Well, did you notice anything this morning?" She said, "No, I hadn't time to watch because my eyes were on the glass of water. And that's all I was focused on." And he says, "Well, if you get your eyes on Jesus, and if you focus on Jesus, you'll not see anything else." And you know, a prophet of God said, when you go to church, if you want something, the devil will sure give you something to look for. But if you want to see the Lord, you'll find him.
Amen.
And I trust this evening we've come to see the Lord. I trust we've come to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and even as myself and any preacher, so easy to get sidetracked, completely off the subject. But I don't want to do that. I want to stay with what the God wants me to preach, and I trust the Lord will bless you from the Word of God tonight. Tonight I want to preach about coming in, coming out, and coming up. And I want to show you 3 great judgments in the Bible for God saved his people, one's yet to happen. And this one that's yet to happen, we could be the people that'll go. It's called the catching up. And it's going to be a deliverance for the bride of Christ from this world. Let us turn to Luke 17, verse 26 to 30. Luke 17, verse 26 to 30. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage." And that means married several times. So the word just married once, given in marriage, means married and married again. "Until the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they build it. But the same day..." when out of Sodom had rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Let us bow our heads this evening. If you have a request, you can lift your hand before the Lord this evening. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we've come tonight to seek your face and come before your throne, even as we have heard, that we might come with thanksgiving and praise in our heart. Lord, truly we can say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we come before you tonight because the veil's rent and we have access into your very presence, from your footstool into your throne room, by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Father, you see the hands raised and you know the needs tonight. I pray for every hand that's raised that they'll meet the need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray again for wee James that you'll touch him and raise him up. I thank you for the brothers and sisters that's prayed. And we know that prayer, that you answer prayer. Pray for Brother Samuel that right now, that you'll touch him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that he'll know the power of the Holy Spirit coming over his body. In Jesus Christ's name. Father, I rebuke the enemy tonight over this service and over every home representative. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now by faith to help me. And I thank you that you do. Pray you'll bless all our nurses and all our doctors. Pray for those in authority. Give them wisdom. And Lord, for this service tonight in your word, we commit it to thee. And I do ask you'll grant wisdom and guidance to say the right things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. First of all, this evening, the first great deliverance we see is Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. You know, it's called the Antediluvian Age. That's what it's called before the flood. It's known as the Antediluvian Age. It is the age when you go back into the book of Genesis, the chapter 6, and you read it. The Bible says that man's evil come up before God. And God did things, but man did things that grieved God. And God said it repented him that it even made man. It was so bad. And God gave Noah a blueprint of salvation. And Noah had a message, and Noah's message was simple, repent. And Noah preached the message for 120 years. You all remember, I'm sure, when Brother Beecham came, and he spoke about it so well, and he said, imagine seeing Noah's missionary report for the year. Well, nobody got saved on the missionary report. Because you know, the days of Noah, only 8 souls were saved. 8 souls were saved in the days of Noah. And I tell you, the Bible tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And you know, Noah's days were evil days. And you go and you read Genesis 7 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come in. So the first message is coming in. And God wants every one of us to come into Christ. You need to come into Christ. And you'll never be saved if you don't come into Christ. And the ark was a type of Jesus Christ. And the ark was a type of salvation. And the ark was a place of safety from the haven and the storm. And Jesus Christ is our only salvation. And Jesus Christ is our only safety. God's servant said you can build quarters into the ground and build bunkers. When the things come in this earth is coming, and he said there's going to be nuclear wars and all sorts of wars, but he said it won't save them. None of their tunnels and bunkers and underground things will save them. There's only one place of safety, that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the days of Noah, there was only one place of safety, our first place, for we see God's judgment coming. God has spoke to Noah and told him how to save himself from this judgment that's coming. You see, people have no fear of the judgment. I remember preaching before, how shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? And I've told the story many times of a place in America, and there was only one bridge into this part of the country. One bridge. And the news report gave there was a storm coming. And they were told that they should flee for safety from this place where they were. They needed to cross the bridge. They needed to get out of this little village for safety. But nobody believed the report. Nobody believed the report. And many people today have rejected the report. We heard this morning, they've turned down God's instructions. They've turned down God's manual. And they don't want God's blueprint. They want man's blueprint. Man's blueprint is a disaster. But God's blueprint is a savior. And I tell you, the storm came. The water was calm. Everything looked good in that place. But the storm came. And when the storm came, the bridge was broken up. And nobody could cross the bridge. It was too late. And there was a line that can be crossed when it's too late. And we see, if we study the days of Noah, men and women crossed the line where it was too late. And judgment came. And thousands were lost. You imagine how they would have said it. There's that old fool Noah. And he's up there with his sons and his daughter-in-laws, and they've some sort of a coffin built and they're in it. And they laughed at him. And you know, they even said, Noah closed the door, but we know that God closed the door. And we know that after God closed the door, that not one drop of water came for 7 days. A fellow trying to tell me, he says, you know, how did he feed the animals? Where did the stuff go that came out of the animals? And he wanted all these explanations. Now listen to me, perhaps you could give them. Well, I'm not smart enough to do any of that. How he fed them and how he done it and all that there. And I says, probably it's there, you could study it. But I says, I believe God could have supernaturally fed them. Never think of that. Oh, well, I wouldn't believe that. I says, no, but you wouldn't believe that 5 loaves and 2 small fishes fed a multitude, would you? You wouldn't believe that 7 little fish in another place fed another multitude, would you? I said, you wouldn't believe that a man called Jesus walked on the water and he permitted Peter, and he even walked on the water. You wouldn't believe that either, would you? You wouldn't believe that God made manna from heaven in the wilderness and they ate fresh manna every day. You wouldn't believe that either, would you? You wouldn't believe that God could furnish a table in a wilderness. Supernatural God. When you take away the supernaturalness of God, you're not working with the God of the Bible. You're working with the God of the figment of some man's imagination. But the God of this Bible is a supernatural God. Now, I'm not saying Noah didn't feed them. I'm not saying, you know, I've never went into it. Some people say, I find it hard to believe. I don't. If it's in the Bible, I believe it. God's word's my absolute. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 tells, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness. The Bible called Noah a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God brought judgment upon the world then, and God has told us in Luke here that he'll bring judgment upon the world again. If God brought it then, God will bring it now. The evilness of man had come before God. Noah obeyed God. He knew judgment was coming. He tried his best for 120 years. He preached for 120 years. There's more than 8 of us here tonight. We're maybe not a massive number, but there's more than 8. But Noah preached faithfully till 8. Did that mean Noah wasn't God's servant? Noah was absolutely God's servant. The Bible says he was God's servant. But nobody wanted to hear the word of God. And I'm sure there's other little churches, and I've talked to lots of pastors, and they said that a lot of people are not coming to church. They're afraid. And I'm going to show you something else of this second judgment in a moment or two. And there's a lot of people's fearing things, but yet there's things that they let go that's worse. Let's claim more lives. A lot more lives, and it's never mentioned. I'll come to that in a moment. Then we see Jesus Christ in Luke's Gospel warn us that the last days will be the same. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5 also tells us, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, pride, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Anything we put before God becomes our God. Jesus said, if you love your father or mother even more than me, you're not worthy of me. Jesus Christ must be our first love. No other. Having a form of godliness. Cain had a form of godliness. But Abel must have had a conversation with Cain. And Abel must have said, Cain, I'm not bringing the fruit of the field. I'm bringing a bloody lamb. Because I know that God will accept only the blood of the lamb. Yeah. But Cain came with his fruit religion. How many churches do we have today? And they have a harvest festival. A harvest service. Where does it come from? Now, are we to celebrate a harvest festival the way some celebrate it? Now, I know you can go to Leviticus and you can do all bring out different things. I understand that. And they took a tenth of the harvest and they give it to the Lord. But that's not what they're doing. They bring all the fruit and they put it on the table and they have a great harvest festival. That's what God rejected with Cain, you know. Cain brought the harvest. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. But God said no. Abel bought the bloody lamb. Our festival should be Christ's blood. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away from. This is God's clear warning. God is clear, but Noah found grace. Genesis 6, verse 8, in the eyes of the Lord. Aren't you glad you find grace? Some of us found it in a jail. Some of us even found it in a pump. But Jesus Christ is not limited to walls. He'll go anywhere for his elect are and find them. Anywhere at all. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis chapter 7, God said, come in. So God calls us in. Into Christ. Come in. My friend, if you're listening in this evening, he's not telling you to come into some church, come into some organization. You need to come into Jesus Christ. If you've never come into Jesus Christ, you're lost. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. There's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Today still, come in. Out of the judgment. Out of the judgment. When you come into Christ, you come out of the judgment. For Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation, judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's a judgment this world will face that the believer will never face. Thank God for Christ. Out of the dangers, Noah come into the ark of salvation. We must come into Christ. Here's my second thought. Luke 17:28. So the first ones come in out of judgment. But the second ones come out. Come out. Lot wasn't told to come in. Lot was told to come out. There's a coming in to Christ, but there has to be also a coming out. Hallelujah. Verse 28 of Luke 17. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. And you can go to Genesis 19. Let's just read this for a moment. Now let me but he still was saved. Abraham saw three men coming in Genesis 18. And when Abraham saw the three men coming, he didn't say, "Here's the Trinity." He didn't say, "My lords." But Abraham, being a prophet of God, said, "My Lord," singular. He knew that was Christ in that form, Melchizedek, and two angels with him. Now I know certain people don't believe that Melchizedek was that one, but I do. Do you know why I do? Because he's no father, no mother, no offspring, no descent, no beginning, and no ending of death. Who else can it be? You say, "How could that be the Lord?" Jesus says, "I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the first and the last." That's what he says over in Revelations. "All things are made by him and for him, and without him wasn't anything made that made." But he came down to Abraham. But here these two angels come down to Lot, and he calls them lords. I'm not here to preach about that this evening, but let's read from verse 12. "And the man said, Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and sons and daughters, and whosoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place." You see, God sent investigating angels down. Abraham, like a type of Christ, bid for them. He bid for them. He pleaded with God for them. You know that Abraham was Lot's uncle. And Abraham talked with God and he said, "Lord of his 50, Lord of his 40. How many knows that? If there's 10, will you spare them?" And he said, "I'll spare them if there's 10. But there wasn't 10. Now remember, this is our second judgment. And remember in Luke's Gospel, these are the words of the Savior. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. Verse 13, "For we will destroy this place." These are judgment angels. They're come down with judgment from God because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. "And the Lord have sent us to destroy it." Verse 14, "And Lot went out and spake on his sons-in-law, which married his daughter, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocketh on to his son-in-laws." Now Lot had more than two daughters. Let me get that over. Because Lot had two daughters and never knew a man, then he's other daughters that are married. So he's more than two daughters. Want you to see that. Now let's follow this. Verse 15. "And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot." Now let's go back a bit. Verse 14. "Lot went out and spake on this, which were married his daughter, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked on to his son-in-law." So now is that how it is today? If you try and witness to some people today, they think you're some sort of a big head case. You're an idiot. You're not right in the head. He's not wise. It's not the way the world looks at it. But they don't realize they're lost. Verse 15. "And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city." Get out! Verse 16. "And while it lightened, the men laid hold upon him." Lot still didn't leave by himself. The angels brought him out. You talk about compelling people to come in. These angels compelled him to come out because Abraham had interceded with God for Lot. And because Abraham had interceded with God for Lot, and Lot was the seed of God, Lot had to be chosen to be saved. And they brought him out, but he didn't want to come out. He hastened to come out. That means he was unsure to go out. He didn't get up and say, "Right, let's go," did he? They brought him out. That's a bit like the day, isn't it? "I don't know if I could go or not." When you're lost, if you don't know, "I'm not sure." Our man. Who is your man? Your man They laid hold upon him, his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. I think this is striking. Not only was Lot told to come out of Sodom, but the angels brought him out by the hand. Now, I'm not condemning Lot. I can't. Because I was in a jail cell and God sent a supernatural presence to speak to me. I heard the preaching and heard the warning and went to meetings and done it all, but it took something more. And God will go as far as to send an angel. Want you to see that this evening. If somebody's truly chosen to be saved, and remember, God knows everyone that'll come. Whom he did predestinate, Romans says, them he did call, and them he did foreknow from the foundation of the world. We must preach it to all, but we're not God. God knows all that'll come. They're chosen in him from the foundation of the world. He's brought out. I'll tell you something, when God goes that far to bring you out. But the angels brought him out. Every one of us had to come out of the world into Christ. We had to come out of the world. We had to come away from our friends. Come away from temptation. Come out! That's the message. And you know, this last church age, it says, come out from amongst them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. Come out. We're living in the days again, like Sodom, where sin's glorified. Homosexuality's glorified. Homosexuals today can parade the streets with flags, half naked. They glorify sin in your face. And if you say one word against it, you are now called the new word. A new word, homophobic. That's the word they use. You're homophobic if you don't agree with it. Our television has homosexual men dancing, homosexual women dancing. That's what people's watching. And sin is glorified. And they talk about the pandemic. Let me run this by, and I'm not saying COVID's not real. I know that there's COVID. How many in this country's died with COVID, and how many has died in this last 2 years with abortion? And where is the pandemic? Nothing said, not a politician will speak out against the innocent unborn baby. They're afraid of their wages each month. That's the truth of it. The big car and the big salary. But how could a preacher of righteousness miss it? You know what William Branham said? It ought to be preached at. And it has to be preached at. Sin has to be condemned. I tell you, sin to the highest. The murder of the unborn baby. Murder. And homosexuality shoved in your face. And they're trying to teach we children at school two daddies is normal. Two mommies is normal. I'm here to tell you this evening, it's perversion. Yes. It's not normal. Amen. God calls it sin. And God burned Sodom and Gomorrah. God burned Tyre and Sidon. Yes. Five cities God burned because of it. Five cities. And he saved four souls. And one of them looked back. And it was Lot's own wife. She retreated. God doesn't want us to go back to some dead organization. He calls us out and he calls us in and he's calling us up. Hallelujah. Come out, come in, come up. I tell you, Lot was brought out. I'm glad the Lord brought me out. He brought me out. No man could have brought me out, but the Lord brought me out. He brought you out. The Lord saved you. And the Lord brought you out. Just as God sent investigating angels in Lot's time, I believe God has sent investigating angels in our time. Let's not miss it. Don't be afraid to preach the truth. There's seven church messengers. Seven Laodicea. Laodicea means people's rights. I'll do what I want. It's not what we hear today. Even children don't want to obey their parents. I'll do what I want. There's no rule in school no more. There's hardly any rule at home. All your rights has been stripped away. And you can be a homosexual and proud of it and fly your flag high and run the street naked. You can kiss your boyfriend even though you're a boy. And you can kiss your girlfriend even though you're a girl. And they think nothing of it, but God will judge it. God will judge it. And don't tell me God won't judge it, because if God doesn't judge it, he'll have to raise Sodom and Gomorrah up and apologize. God will judge it. God has sent investigating angels. The Bible says in Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries will be finished. We don't fuss no more over the Godhead. We know the truth on it. We know the truth on original sin. We know the truth on water baptism. We know it. Why should we be ashamed of it? Why should we let somebody take their boot and ram something down our throats? It's false. It's not even in the Bible. Eve ate an apple. Where do you read that? Not one scripture for it. She never ate an apple. You know what happened. Someone took place and God put enmity between the saints. And a hybrid brunch come forth and produced giants. No, a lot of churches today believe the angels came down, pressed themselves into human bodies, and they did things with women. False teaching to the highest. Do you know why? Because of the words of Jesus. Jesus says, know ye not that ye be as the angels, neither taken or given in marriage. So it contradicts their doctrine from the Lord's own words. But they believe it. People believe that stuff and they'll sin under it. And then, oh, did you know what Brother McKinstry believed? They know what I believe more than I know myself. And then when I go ahead, tell me, and people tell me, and I don't believe nothing what they're saying at all. They completely take it out of context, and they don't even say it the way it is. But that's deliberate. Eve, you see, changed the word. She changed the word. And I haven't got time this evening to do it, but she was told not to do it. She changed the word. And there's no truth as dangerous as a half-truth. Somebody can have a half-truth, and that's worse. A lie is a half-truth. How many knows that? She changed the word. Now, I haven't got time tonight to go into it, but you know they disobeyed God. Revelation 18:4 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. There's a day of judgment coming, and God is saying, come out. God has given clear warning for those who will not repent. Now, you can't make people conceive, but don't you try and top the preacher preaching it. That's his job. God has called them to do it. Ephesians 5, verse 5 and 8. For this know also, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an adulterer of any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you by any vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. All of us were guilty, but we repented. Paul said some of us were adulterers, fornicators, but now you're in Christ. We repented. Repentance means you turn around. You don't do it again. That's repentance. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Didn't Jesus say, fear not him that's power to kill the body, but power to kill the soul also? second death. People say, I'll go to the grave. That's it. It's not it. There's a resurrection unto life and the resurrection unto death. There's a second death. There's no power over the believer. Second death, there's no power over the believer because you have eternal life. They brought Lot out. Noah came in. Lot come out. Here's my last thought is, come up. Come up. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, and the original says, thrust up, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I tell you, no. My brother John said one time, and it's true, I believe it myself. We sing, I'll fly away. We won't. We'll fly nowhere. We're getting taken. We're not flying. Enoch walked with God and the Lord took him. How many knows that's the Bible? The Lord took him. And the Lord's coming for me and you. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. We're going to go up. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. And you're not entering heaven in your body. You'll be taken the way you are, but you'll be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and you'll go to be with the Lord. This is the third deliverance from judgment. Because when the bride of Jesus Christ goes in the catching up, the rapture, judgment is going to come in this world like it's never known before. The Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. And it says there'll never be anything like it that you can compare it till before. It'll be so terrible. COVID will be nothing compared to when the bride goes. It'll be far worse than any of that. What's coming in this earth. And I tell you this evening, you need the seal of God to go in the catching up. And the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians said, where be your sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Come on. Matthew 25, verse 6 to 13, let me read it. And I'm closing in 5 minutes. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be none enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. There's lots of preachers that preach that you go straight up and come straight down. And when you ask them, when does the marriage take place? They don't know. Well, I know, because the Bible tells me you're raptured and you go home to be with the Lord, and there's a marriage supper of the Lamb. How many knows that? How many knows when you get married to your wife, there's a honeymoon period? Do you believe that tonight? Maybe some of you don't believe in the marriage supper. Maybe you don't believe in that. Maybe you don't believe that you get married to Jesus Christ. Now, I know I've heard lots of nuns' testimonies, and they're told that they're married to the Pope. But I want you to know that I'm married to no Pope or no priest. But we need to believe we are the bride of Jesus Christ. And he's going to rapture us and he's going to take us away. And we're going to spend time with him. Because John 14 says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, the way you know, I am the way, he says. Jesus Christ is the way. Hallelujah. Verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, look at verse, what happened? And the door was shut. Shut. They were closed down, like Noah's Ark. Closed down. There was a time come when they couldn't enter the Ark. Closed down. Now I know there's going to be those come out of tribulation. A number that no man can number. Robed in white. But But I believe the bride of Jesus Christ escapes it. And she's raptured away, caught away and be with the Lord. Afterward came also other virgins saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh. You know, Jesus said, when you say to the fig tree, putting forth his leaves, know ye that it's even at the door. On the rest of the trees, 1948, Israel became a nation. We are in the season of the coming of the Lord. We're in the season. We are living in the last of the last days. Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming for a people that's ready. The Bible said the bride made herself ready. She made herself ready. She dressed in what God prepared her to dress in. The Word of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Sister, this evening, if you're in Christ, you're clean. You're pure. You're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother, you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The need of the hour was oil. That was the need of the hour. Oil. And oil is still the need of the hour. The life of the blood. What's the life of the blood? The life of the blood is the Holy Ghost. Romans 8 verse 11. I'm going to have to close. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Noah came into that ark and he was saved. Lot come out. Now it took a bit to get him out, but he still come out. God saved him. And those that are ready for the coming of the Lord, you're going to be taken. Taken. You're leaving. Why put so much emphasis on this life down here when you're leaving it behind? People are so worried about down here. And some people, you know, some people get highfalutin, you know. Oh yes. They get so highfalutin that they're better than you or me. They think they are something. Well, I can tell you, they're nothing without the Lord. Don't care what sort of a car you're driving or what you've got, you're nothing without the Lord. Doesn't the Bible warn us if a man comes in, you know, in fine apparel and you praise him, and if another fellow comes in like a beggar, you look down your noses and the Bible warns against such. Yeah. Jesus tells a story in Luke's Gospel about the beggar and the rich man. I tell you, that beggar had angels as pallbearers. Angels attended his funeral. His pallbearers were the angels of the Lord. But they weren't. The pallbearers of the rich man weren't the angels of the Lord. Christ is coming again. Let us stand our feet this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're listening in tonight and you hear this message and God's touched you, and you need to get right with God, my dear friend, there's hope this evening. For the book of Acts and the book of Romans both say, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come to Christ tonight and be saved. Repent of your sins. Turn from your sin and come to the Lord. Come and get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you'll bless your people this evening. Bless all of them that hear this message. Move them and strive with them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord Jesus, you'll help every one of us to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. Help us to be a light that's not hidden, but a light that can be seen. Father, light our lights afresh this evening. Burn upon us, Holy Ghost, I pray. Set your people afire and set them alight with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for the backslidden this evening that you'll speak to them, that you'll move them and fill them and draw them and bring them back to their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you this evening because you first loved us. Pray again for every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife, every grandson, granddaughter, nephew or niece that's not saved, that's represented with these services. We claim every one of them under the token. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim them. We ask for the mercy of the Lord that he'll spur them and speak to them and save them. In Jesus Christ's name. Father, touch all that need your touch this evening. Touch every brother, every sister under this roof tonight and listening in. Bless our nurses, bless our doctors. Guide those in authority and bless your own people, Israel. Jesus Christ's name. Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one of you. Brother Gary comes. Don't forget, Thursday night of those that's able at 7:30 or prayer and Bible study. God bless each one.
On that road.